From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Tuesday, April 8th. I'm Abby Larico. A growing effort to eliminate junk food from the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program has some food access advocates worried about a restriction's impact on recipients.
We already know that many families have to choose between paying a bill and buying groceries. If you add pressure in the grocery store, you're removing their ability to meet that need even further.
The push and its potential problems coming up after this news on The Gateway. Polls are open for municipal elections throughout the St. Louis region. In the city of St. Louis, voters will select the mayor, comptroller, and members of the Board of Aldermen from odd-numbered wards. There are also three seats up for grabs on the Board of Education for St. Louis Public Schools. In St. Louis County, voters will decide whether to give the county council the power to fire department heads with five votes. Seats on dozens of local government bodies and school boards are also on the ballot. Many voters will consider taxing and bonding measures as well. Polls close at 7 p.m. The effort to eliminate the capital gains tax in Missouri moved forward yesterday, with the Senate passing a House bill to remove the tax imposed on the sale of assets like real estate. If the House approves the Senate's version of the bill, it will proceed to the governor's desk. St. Louis Public Radio's Evie Lewis reports on its potential impacts.
Opponents of the bill say it would represent a tax cut for the wealthy and risks creating budget shortfalls for the state. Senator Maggie Nirenberg, a Kansas City Democrat, says the legislature shouldn't be considering tax cuts while the current draft of the state budget for next year doesn't fully fund public schools.
So we're underfunding public education. At the same time, we're giving a $300 million tax credit to our most wealthy individuals.
The version of the bill approved by the Senate would remove the tax for individuals immediately and allow for removal of the tax on corporations if certain triggers in state economic growth are met. It also includes some other tax measures, such as a tax exemption for diapers and feminine hygiene products. In Jefferson City, I'm Evie Lewis, St. Louis Public Radio.
President Donald Trump's recent tariffs have some St. Louis area business owners worried about higher prices. St. Louis Public Radio's Chad Davis reports.
Trump announced a 10% baseline tariff on imported goods plus reciprocal tariffs last week. Trump announced a 54% tariff on Chinese imports last week. St. Louis-based board game company Stonemeyer Games works with a Canadian company whose main factory is in China. Jamie Stegmeyer is co-founder of the company. He says for a $10 game, those taxes could cause significant pain.
Just the manufacturing cost went from $10 to effectively $15. And that has broad repercussions, but even at its baseline, that is just a huge increase in cost.
Stegmeyer says the company will look for ways to increase its international sales from China to other countries. I'm Chad Davis, St. Louis Public Radio.
Environmental Protection Agency Administrator Lee Zeldin wants to rewrite the rule that says which waters are protected under the Clean Water Act. But some are worried that could leave more Midwestern waters vulnerable to pollution. Nancy Stoner is a senior attorney with the Environmental Law and Policy Center.
It's bipartisan. It's across the board. People prefer clean water. But the policy is moving in the wrong direction. This new effort to consider removing even more waters from protection is very concerning.
Years of court cases have led to shifting definitions of which waters are protected under the rule. The EPA is seeking public comment this month. Student-athletes from the University of Missouri-St. Louis are coordinating a campaign to protest the athletic department's decision to cut its track and field program. Senior track runner Ella Tynan says her time on the team has been an overwhelmingly positive experience, and she says she wishes the four-year-old program had more time to grow.
We were promised a chance to build our legacy and to build a program that we would have wanted to be a part of from the beginning. So it's just been so cool to be part of a new program and to be able to see the success that we have had so far.
Supporters have filed a federal civil rights complaint against UMSL, plus organized an on-campus protest and an email campaign. UMSL Athletics has stated that it has no plans to reinstate track and field at this time, citing a need to streamline its offerings and support its other sports teams. A $33 million co-working space in Alton is open for business. St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer reports this is the first major project in a local economic development group's efforts to transform the Metro East town.
The new space is called The Wedge. The Innovation Center will have space for new businesses, a venture capital firm, and various Southern Illinois University Edwardsville centers. It will also have retail space. CEO Scott Heathman says they're hopeful this model can be a blueprint for other communities to create jobs and grow shrinking towns.
So we see this really as a catalyst, not only for Alton, but really to kind of use it as an engine for all of southwestern Illinois and across the bi-state into Missouri.
This co-working space is the first in a portfolio of projects from AltonWorks. That local economic development group also plans to build affordable housing and rehab other retail space in the city's downtown. I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
Keep podcasts like The Gateway thriving by becoming a member of St. Louis Public Radio today. Your support ensures that your community stays informed and has access to fact-based local news. Give right now at stlpr.org.
There are growing calls to eliminate junk food from the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has called on states to ask for waivers to keep sugary or processed foods from being paid for with SNAP. The U.S. Department of Agriculture, which oversees the federal food program, has refused such waivers in the past. But as Harvest Public Media's Anna Pope reports, proposals introduced this year in Congress and in 18 states, including Missouri, seek to restrict what SNAP recipients can buy.
It's a busy lunchtime at this Oklahoma City grocery store as Richard Camo navigates through the fresh produce. He's the chief program officer at Hunger Free Oklahoma, which advocates for food access. Camo says SNAP recipients have a lot of latitude in what they buy.
So a SNAP shopper can shop pretty much anywhere in the grocery store as long as the food is not hot or pre-prepared and hot.
SNAP benefits also exclude items like vitamins and alcohol. But there's been a recent push to ban junk food as well. As Camo turns into the cereal aisle, he says placing junk food restrictions on SNAP is harder than it seems.
So there's really no common definition of healthy. And so what do you mean when you talk about healthy? If we ban any sugar-sweetened grain produce, we might be eliminating things like Honey Nut Cheerios, which we know have good impact on people's heart health.
He worries food restrictions will make buying enough food harder for SNAP recipients. Past efforts to limit junk food from SNAP have stalled. States that sought to exclude foods had to get a waiver from the USDA, which traditionally the department has refused to do. But the Trump administration is signaling interest in such exclusions, and lawmakers in states including Iowa, Kansas, and Missouri have introduced bills. Missouri Republican Representative Jamie Ray Gregg has unique insight into SNAP.
I'll be honest, at one time early on in my life, I had assistance with the SNAP program, with me and my children, and it was a great program.
Gregg introduced a bill this year that would exclude candy and soft drinks from SNAP. He says he wants people to have access to nutritious foods. And Gregg says SNAP should be supplemental, providing just part of how recipients pay for food.
You can use your dollars for the junk foods and for the sugary snacks and the sugary treats and the sodas. But the dollars that we're putting up there is to make sure that you have the nutrition portion.
In a 2007 report, the USDA said that there's no evidence that SNAP participation contributes to a poor diet or obesity. Park Wild, a food policy professor at Tufts University, says federal surveys on food selection have shown any differences are minor.
They tend to find that SNAP participants, by and large, buy and consume food much like people at other income levels do. But when a difference is registered, it tends to be a modest difference rather than an overwhelming difference.
Many advocates say restrictions on SNAP will actually be harmful. Gina Platanino is with the Food and Research Action Center. She says SNAP serves the most needy individuals, with children and seniors making up the lion's share.
It's incredibly difficult to understand what people who are living in need have to go through to just have access to food and meet that most basic need.
There are tens of thousands of food and beverage products on the market, with more introduced every year. Platanino says trying to figure out which food recipients can and can't buy is a mammoth task.
it's so complex that it's just really difficult to think of, like, how are you really going to operationalize this? Who's going to make the list? Who's going to make the determination of, like, what constitutes as healthy or unhealthy?
She says the biggest barriers for getting fresh produce is price, according to the USDA's own studies. Back at the grocery store, Camo says SNAP restrictions will make it harder to buy enough food, especially in the face of inflation.
Families have to choose between paying a bill and buying groceries. If you add pressure in the grocery store, you're removing their ability to meet that need even further.
He says with lawmakers proposing budget cuts to SNAP, food restrictions could further weaken the safety net. I'm Anna Pope, Harvest Public Media.
And Harvest Public Media is a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains, including STLPR. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.